the living poop.
All right, everybody, welcome to another incredible episode of Wit Out, Play Out, Cast, a Survivor podcast. We're talking about Season 34, Game Changers, Episode 5, Vote Early, Vote Often, and I'm sad because that was a Debbie quote this week, and that's always a sad thing. This is a Night of the Living Geek show. Go to notlg.com, check out other cool shows, go to patreon.com/notlg, support us, support the network, rate, review, subscribe, all those things people do when you listen to a podcast, whatever. This week was a hella better episode than last week.
Yes, it was. And this will be a hella better episode because I'm finally somewhat settled.
Yeah.
And yay. Hello again. Sorry I was gone for the last 2 weeks. We were packing and moving and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And we're still not quite set up. I'm literally sitting underneath a bunch of blankets on my temporary bed to drown out the sound of the rain outside and then the dog outside of my room.
Did you guys get rain? I want some rain.
Yeah, it's raining today, and it's supposed to rain, I think, Saturday.
Don't be too jealous, Brian, because we just had no rain for, like, 5 years straight.
Yeah, but then you had got, like, all of it, like, in a week. So.
Yeah. Is there anything you wanted to say, Nick, about last week while you weren't here?
Yeah. So I finally watched the episode. I think it was yesterday or Tuesday. I don't remember which day I watched it. And I was mad because it was very Debbie-centric. But, I'm going to be a little bit positive here. What I liked was the editing on that job. They never do flashbacks or anything. But for that episode, they were doing flashbacks to show you, no, you're not crazy. She really did say these things. Like, before each challenge, for example, when they
let you in on the strategy. You never get to see that.
Yeah, they let you in, and she would say, like, oh, well, I'm really good at balance. Let me do the balance. And then, I'm sorry. That was the first one. For the second one, for the immunity challenge, she was like, oh, well, don't put me on the balance beams. You guys don't want me there, blah, blah, blah. And then afterwards, she's complaining that they didn't put her on there. Like, oh, you should have listened to me and put me on. And they legit did a flashback to show you, no, this is what actually she said.
Yeah.
I love that the editors aren't going to let her get away with this stuff.
Yeah, and I she does it again this week with her revisionist memory. So, I mean, we'll get into it a little bit. Like, there's the tribe swap, and there's other things I want to talk about with the tribe swap, aside from the fact that this is a good tribe swap where there's, like, a decent mix of people, except for on the mana trope, which sucks. But Debbie does it again when Debbie's talking to Cochran on the boat. And skipping over all that stuff, we'll get back to talking about that. She says, I scared Brad and put him back in his place.
Yeah.
What the fuck were you in?
That was after she was bragging to the camera about, oh, I've met presidents and prime ministers. Like, no, you have not.
No, okay, and like, even if you have, like, what kind of personality is like, oh, yeah, I've met presidents and I've met prime ministers, but then loses her shit over Cochran?
Yeah,
I mean, literally, it's just Cochran. Like, you're playing with Sandra.
Well, I lost my shit over Cochran.
No, I would too. I would lose my shit over Cochran too. But like, you're playing with Sandra. You're playing with Ozzy. You're playing with Suri. Like, you're playing with some amazing, long time, like, great players of this game. And Cochran's a good player too. But like of all the people that you're even playing with this year, Cochran.
Well, yeah. Because Cochran. No, I don't know if you know or not, but he has one of the most popular Survivor podcasts and blogs and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Psh, whatever. Screw him.
He's our direct competition. Oh, it's so funny.
Fuck
that. Yeah, no, I love that guy. I really do. I wish I had seen the season that he actually won.
I like that guy. I like that guy because he comes on the boat. he gets a confessional, and he's like, I don't know how I'm supposed to talk to her because she seems like she's done everything.
Yeah.
Like, you can hear him holding back the snark so hard and trying to be polite-ish. You can hear him holding it back, and I'm like, oh, Cochran, I know what you mean to say. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, the real great part was, I was looking at our bet here for the who's the returning castaway, because we thought it was going to be somebody rejoining the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, wait, did Brian just pick anyone from not this season?
Yeah.
That was smart, you fucking asshole.
That's the first bet Brian won this week. Actually, no, I think that would have been the second, because he also picked this episode, episode 5, as being a reshuffle bet episode. So he wins that one, too. He gets 6 points off of bets this week. It's disgusting.
Oh, I hate you. Yeah. But, no, I mean, so we all thought, oh, wow, they're going to bring a person back into the game. And then it turns out, no, the returning survivor is just, you know, the fantasy survivor dude just coming to give advice and realize, oh no, this woman's delusional. She's way too overconfident and not competent enough to be that confident.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's why I'm super disappointed. And I mean, I'm not half as disappointed as I was last week. But this week, I'm disappointed because this whole thing with Exile Island being a boat and having it be fully stocked, that is an interesting twist. And then having Cochrane show up is even way more interesting. But, like, literally, this is the least interesting person to give it to. Cause you know, she's gonna ignore a ton of it. She's gonna either ignore it or she's gonna, I don't know. It's just like, I'm looking at the list of people who are still here and literally I would be way more interested in any of them. And I think half of these people that are left would make a play out of Exile Island being a boat. They would be like, oh yeah, it was horrible. Like play up a pity factor or something, like whatever. But all I know is she's gonna go back and brag about it. Or she's, I cannot imagine her doing anything interesting with that extra info or doing interesting with that secret. I can't imagine her getting anything interesting out of Cochrane. I would have loved, absolutely loved to see Cochrane trying to give advice to Sandra.
No, I think that would have worked out well because, like, he and Sandra probably, like, have met each other a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And know each other. And so
why would they have met each other a bunch of times? Like, where are you getting that from?
There's like a whole fraternity of survivor winners and past survivors. They all, well, they don't all hang out all the time because they live all throughout the country. But I practically guarantee
like the people who win the Hunger Games?
Yeah. That's actually a really, really good analogy.
It really is, yeah. Except, you know, they didn't all murder anyone, but yeah, no, there's...
Sandra tried. She tried to murder the shit out of that goat.
I wish she had. But no, like, okay, I see what you're saying. But on the other hand, I'm really looking forward to when Debbie implodes again and this time gets voted out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think
that was the worst part of her going. She couldn't get voted out this week.
Yeah.
what I would love is if she gets voted out and in her confessional at the very end of the camera, Her goodbye statement, she blames it on Cochrane. she's like, I tried to take his advice to heart and play the way he said I would, and here I am. Fuck you, Cochrane. I can see that. I can totally fucking see that.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if they're going to continue with the Exile Island and with him coming out there and giving advice or whatever. I would really like that. It's kind of like, all right, I don't watch The Bachelor. But one of the things I really like about The Bachelor, I don't watch it, is that they have regular sit-down interviews with the contestants. And uh-huh. So, like, checking in.
How do you
and,
know
like,
that?
I know things about things.
There's nothing wrong with watching The Bachelor. It's okay.
No, I don't watch it. Actually, if you do watch it, you should listen to a podcast called Rose Buddies. Anyway,
Oh my god, we should start one called Rose Bros.
No, that's way too close. I don't want to steal their flavor. Anyway, no, they have regular, like, sit-down interviews where they talk, and since they're talking to somebody who understands the game but isn't part of the game, it gives it a much different feel than just a straight confessional. Debbie and Cochrane talking to each other on camera as, like, an interview kind of thing, or, like, a check-in, whatever you want to call it, had a much different feel to it than just, you know, Debbie sitting on a log somewhere talking into a camera and we don't get to see what the producer's prompting her for.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, I really,
yeah. I hope that they do more of that.
Yeah, I would really like to see this again over and over. I don't know if they can do the same kind of stuff every time, but I do agree. I would like to see Cochrane come in a bunch because he's...
Maybe it's going to be a different castaway every time he comes back.
That would be cool, too. Next time it's Fishback.
That'd be neat. No,
I think it would be a different winner every time.
Oh, yeah.
What I think would be cool is, you know, Cochrane each time, and then for subsequent Exile Islands, it's actually an island, So just this first time, is it the little luxury yacht?
No, I would love it if every other time after this, it's Sandra, because like, well, hey, you know, I mean, now we can, because, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know, when she got voted, here's the thing I'll say also about, like, well, whatever. When she got voted off, she was totally cool with it.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't mad. She wasn't
right, I thought she was going to be pissed.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. It's the way she talks smack all the time. I thought for a fact she would just be so, like, Michaela levels of mad. But she was just like, all right, good job, you guys. Have fun.
Well, I mean, she's confessed before that, like, the way she is out there is not the way she is in real life. Not that she's, like, confessed it like it's a big secret, but I can totally see, like, that whole queen stays queen thing. You ain't going to do that in, like, a meeting.
Wait. Yeah. I'm going to say one more thing before we stop talking about Debbie. I loved the recap of last week and this episode where Jeff just goes, and Debbie lost her mind.
Yes. Yeah.
It was very accurate. Oh, you know, the other thing that I'll say before we move on also is, so when she said last week, this is why I have an 8-pack, I was so mad. But, no, in the recap this week, watch it again, and when she turns to face Brad, she actually does, well, okay, it's not an 8-pack, that's absurd, but she actually does have a pretty good core when she turns, like, you can see it there.
Dude, she's thin. She doesn't, she's not defined.
Well, I would say go ahead and take a look, but, yeah, that's going to be too much effort. Don't
she lifted up her shirt when she said it. There's nothing. No, I like the same thing. She lifts up her arms and, like, her scrawny-ass arms. Look how strong I am.
So I think there is one more thing we can talk about in an interesting kind of way about Debbie being on the boat, is when Cochran gives the advantage and there's the three options.
Yeah.
And I really like that. Three options, so let's recap just real quick. There's the fake immunity kit, which is genius. the extra vote, which is something that's been given out before but not necessarily been useful. So it's nice that it's included in this bundle so that if you are in a position to make use of it, it's one of your options. As opposed to giving it to, who is it, like the oh god, the fat cheeseburger guy, got it that one time.
Oh, Dan?
Yeah, fucking wasted it. And then the challenge advantage is another interesting thing, too, like, because then you can come back to your new tribe, you don't know which one it is, and immediately prove yourself valuable in some way, or get somebody indebted to you a little bit, you know, like, it gives you that in after being in exile, so that's a nice touch, too.
But Debbie doesn't need a challenge advantage. She's good at everything.
Yes, which is probably what was going through her head when she chose not to take that one. I personally think the challenge advantage is the best one here, unless you're somebody who's in a swingy position usually, which actually might work for Debbie. Debbie's finds herself in swing positions pretty often. But like if Ty were out there, oh yeah, take the extra vote. Don't take anything else.
Yeah, see, I think what it boils down to is, do you think you're going to make it to the merge or not? Because if you don't think you're going to make it, you take the challenge advantage to give yourself a better chance of making it. If you think you are, you take the extra vote, because then you know, all right, when I'm the one on the block, I can swing the vote for somebody else. The fake immunity idol kit, I don't like that. I mean, I'm sorry, no, I like that it's in the game, and I like that they gave it as an option, but I don't think I would have taken it. Like, it's too much of a hassle to make one. And fake immunity idols don't really work. All they really do is just kind of embarrass the person who plays it. But they don't actually, you know, they don't cause people, they don't fool people into thinking, oh, that's an immunity idol, I'm not going to vote for you. And they
I think it would have been useful if a guy like Tony was still out there, who is a big target, is not going to be the leader of his alliance. Is going to constantly, somebody who is on the bottom no matter how they end up. Not necessarily Sandra, because Sandra's not going to play that. But somebody who can play the game and try to make it work for them, in a way that is convincing. Like, if you're on the bottom, like, oh, I just happened to find this out on Exile Island, motherfucker. Like, I could see Tony doing that. So I think there are some rare chances where that is the one a person would take. But I do agree. I think it's the most desperate of the three.
Yeah, the other two just represent such concrete advantages that I don't think there's really much of a reason. If they do have Cochran come out for future episodes, I think it would be kind of neat if the next time he goes out there, they only have, like, they offer an advantage, but it's only the unused two.
Ooh, that'd be neat.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a possibility, but we don't know. They may never do Exile Island again. Who knows?
Well, there's 14 people left at this point, and we know the merge happens at 10. We know that from we know that from sources. The merge happens at 10. At least that's what I've read and heard as being something that was announced somewhere.
From
I didn't read the
top
official thing.
Men.
Yes, top men. Top men have let us know that it's 10. So that's 4 weeks. So they could do that. They could, you know, have the next 2 weeks be that, and then the last one would be, well, no, I guess that wouldn't quite work. You could do every other. That might be something. Every time, yeah, because every other, then every time there's an odd person, that person is the one who goes.
Yeah, I could see that working.
Yeah, that might work out. So the other thing the tribe swap is Debbie gets sent to Exile Boat. The other thing that we get Haley, who has still never left the Mana Beach, and is the only person who has never changed tribe this season. So if she makes it to the merge, and they put the merge tribe on the Mana Beach, she will have never left. Which I think is crazy.
That's what are the odds of that?
That's just a little note. And I think it's something that when you get far enough in the game matters because you have more of a sense of home. Like, this is my place for, this is where I keep my stuff. Like, you feel less like you're being jerked around by RNGesus. I don't think it's a big deal, but it's something that might, you know, when that paranoia sets in on day 28, real hard, it might be a little something.
I don't think it's that big of a deal, but you go ahead and you think that it's cute.
The other thing we get is the new alliance of Zeke, Varner, and Ty, which I'm going to call the gay agenda.
except they totally didn't Please have don't. An alliance. I had no idea Varner was gay before Ty said that, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Guys. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. The three gay guys on this tribe, that's cool. No, yeah, I didn't know either, but I don't know, it could still end up working, because Zeke wasn't throwing Ty under the bus. He was just like you said, you said in the past, he needs to pick a name to lie to Varner with, and so he picked Ty, because really, when you think about it, Ty is the most legitimate threat. Mm-hmm. Like, we see he finds two idols this episode.
Yeah.
He's one he stands a decent chance of winning willpower challenges. We've all seen that before. And you don't really know what he's going to do at Tribal Council. So there's good, legitimate reasons to vote him out. So if you say to, like, when Jeff's told Sandra, oh, yeah, they're gonna vote out Ty, she didn't immediately go, bullcorn. No, 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 that's not right. They're going to vote for me. She thought, yeah, I can see Ty. All right.
But she did think that. Like, immediately after the shorter confession, was like, they're saying Ty, but I don't think that's true.
Well, she's like, she said it would make sense, but when you look at their alliance, there's no reason that they would do it. And Zeke identifies it too. Zeke does it in his confessional. He says, like, there's no real reason to vote out Sandra. There's never a reason to vote out Sandra. You can vote her out any time, but then she'll make it to the end. Somehow she'll make it work. Yeah. And he says, like, there's always bigger physical threats, and there's always bigger idol threats, and there's always bigger this and that threats, but somehow it has to be Sandra at some point, and if it's not, then she's going to beat you. So Zeke's like, we gotta pull that bandit off now. Like, Ty is the smart play. Ty is lovable. Ty is a wild card, which puts him at a swing vote. You know, that's what Debbie does. That's what JT did sometimes. Like, when you make unpredictable moves, that makes you the swing vote if you stick around long enough. That's what Abby Marie did. Like, that's what happens. So he puts himself in a powerful position, finds idols, and is unpredictable. And still stays likable. Like, how the fuck are you like that and still be likable?
Right?
But
and
Ty,
he still has
Ty
his chickens.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So Zeke's like, for every reason it should be Ty, but it has to be Sandra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, because Sandra's the one, if you get to the end with Ty, you might be able to beat him. Because you can say, like, look at all the mistakes that he's made. Like blurting out things, and he's just not, you could say...
Telling Varner that it's Sandra?
Yeah, exactly. You can point to his mistakes like that, and maybe, who knows, maybe he does something to piss someone off. But Sandra is just such a real person. Like, she's not faking it out there. She's telling you everything that she's gonna do. And so if she gets to the end, she can say, look, I was the number one target because I'm the only person who's ever won twice. now here I am at the very, very end, and I did it, and I didn't just, nobody took me as a goat. I was making moves the entire time. So she would win if she got to the end, mm-hmm. unless people were just that, what's the word I'm looking for? That
vindictive.
Petty, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, vindictive and petty. And really, these folks, I don't think they are that petty or vindictive. Zeke is right. It's like, you get rid of her or else she wins the game. You can't, yeah. She is not a goat.
Yeah. And I mean, like, when she's going around camp, I mean, as soon as she smells a trap, she goes to the two people she knows she should. She goes straight to Sarah and Ozzy and doesn't tell them what they want to hear, but just explains it to them, lays it out to them, lets them know what's going on. And I think the way Sarah explains it, like, she doesn't talk down to you, and she's not trying to convince you. She's not begging you. She's just mentoring you. And to sit, and it was like to hear her talk to them and to hear that take on it, it's like, my God, it works like sweet, sweet honey. Like, no fucking wonder Sandra's so good at this.
Sorry to go back to last week's episode, but it was a Sandra moment that was just absolute genius. Was when she's watching JT make the coffee and sees that, you know, Michaela uses a lot of sugar. Yeah, and so she doesn't sell it. She just gets rid of some of that sugar and then lays a little bit of evidence on there. And then he figures, you know what? Eventually he'll notice. And when he does, he's going to blow up. And he did. And he fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
Well, he didn't blow up. But yeah.
Or, well, he blamed Michaela. And it was just like, it didn't, he didn't even have to stop to think about it or figure out what was going on. He just snapped right to blaming her, and it made that whole situation even more volatile. That's the word I should say. It made it more volatile, and it was such a great play, and it was so subtle, and that's the thing that I like. She is a stone cold killer.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm the thing I'm most sad about, I'll be honest, it's not that I don't like her, but I was rooting for her to not make it to the end. Because then we all know what the narrative was going to be, and I want a more interesting narrative at the end. I want either three people who haven't been there or three people who slugged it out. And I mean, Sandra's, you know what Sandra's game was going to be from the day she gets out there. You know she wants to get to the end and just say, hey, look, it's my third time, and y'all didn't think I could do it. Like, we knew as soon as she set foot out there what it was going to be if she made it. So I'm kind of glad that she's gone.
I wanted her to get to the jury.
Yes.
I wanted to see her give a speech.
I wanted to see her at Ponderosa every week. That's what I really wanted.
And if she, you know, honestly, as I said, if she won, I wouldn't feel bad because it would be outstanding to see somebody win three times. But if she lost, I'd be happy. Basically, you know what, honestly, I'm just happy that Sandra was in the game. That's what it boils down to for me. Like, I can see why you don't want her to win because, yeah, all right, three is kind of excessive. But at the same time, dude, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah,
$3 million winner.
Yeah, and you could say at that point that she will have won 10% of these 10% of every survivor. Like,
oh shit, you're right.
She would have won literally 10%. So then, in another 11 years, they bring her back, or would it be 5 years? 5 years from now, they bring her back again and see if she can keep her percentage up, her win rate.
That'd be great. Oh man,
no, fuck that! I wanted her to win.
Yeah.
But from this episode, my favorite moment in this episode is right before the immunity challenge, when Jeff is explaining to everyone, so if you lose, you go to tribal council and Debbie joins your tribe. And he said it in a way that was like, so, you know, guys, don't lose, because if you lose, you get Debbie.
Yeah, it's, and like, isn't it bad enough that they had to vote somebody off? Now they have to get her back.
And I love, because right after he says it, they cut to Sierra, who gives like a knowing nod. And throughout the challenge, Brad is like 10 times the monster. I mean, he's normally a monster, but you just saw him giving it literally everything.
He was motivated. Severely motivated.
And him and Sierra staying on the same tribe, it's like, oh yeah, they talk beforehand, like, whatever we fucking do, we cannot lose this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a pretty, well, pretty good immunity challenge. What was amazing to me was, like, I looked down, and then when I looked up, it was over.
Yeah.
Like, I blinked and missed practically the entire thing. Like, yeah, it was just bizonkers. That's not a word.
I don't think they necessarily were, like, figuring the puzzle out. I think half of it was just they were just throwing shit on the table, and they got halfway done.
Just happened to work.
Yeah, and they just realized that in the process of throwing shit on the table, they happened to have done it right.
Yeah, that's hella funny.
So yeah, Tribal Council is crazy again, which is great. I love it because this season is delivering. Like, this Tribal Council is crazy, but at the end of the day, you get a sense that like maybe 60 or 70% of all of that was just smokescreen stuff. Like, there's
all smokescreen.
Yeah, because there's no where did Ty even get Ozzy's name? And Ozzy kind of sold it, but looking back, like, he wasn't as surprised as I guess he should have been.
Yeah, I thought it was a little odd. Like, it seemed like normally the reason you blind someone or blindside someone like that is because you think they might have an idol and whatever, and so you're just trying to avoid them thinking about playing it. The problem is, like fucking Ty, you have two idols. You found one already. Do you really think she has one? How many idols can be in the game, dude? So you don't need to do all of that.
Well, and actually, was she ever on the Tabua, the Green Beach? Because if she never was, then he knows for a fact that she wouldn't have one. Because he knows.
Yeah, no, she wasn't on. He knows. She wasn't green.
Yeah, he knows Haley couldn't have one. He knows nobody from Mana could ever have one. And nobody from Nuku would have one now. Because he wouldn't have them. Like, they wouldn't have two planted on the same beach.
Yeah.
So the only one that he cannot account for is the one that was on Tabua, the one that Troizen has. So yeah, he can play with confidence knowing whether or not somebody has an idol. He knows.
Because he has all of them. He's an idol.
I want to know what the fuck really happened. Like, did they like plan this out, like just to fuck with Sandra and make her think she had a chance? Because like when Ty starts bringing up Ozzy and starts whispering to her, by the way, I said Ozzy. And then they all start, you know, and then it shows all of them telling each other, vote for Ty. We're going to vote for Ty. And then, you know, Ty saying he's going to vote for Ozzy. And then not a single person that said who they were going to vote for. Every single one of them was a lie.
Yeah.
Because they all voted for Sandra, and Sandra and Varner voted for Ty.
Yeah, that has to have been a work. Because otherwise, like, with all of that going on, Ty would have played his idol. Or one of his idols.
God,
it sucks saying.
I think the tell we get is when... after all this Ozzy stuff, Ty turns to Zeke and says, "You know I'm loyal."
Yeah. Because
when he said that, I literally laughed out loud. Because like you said that 30 seconds after flipping on Ozzy, like what are you doing, Ty?
Yeah.
Like that's obviously bullshit. But now looking back and seeing those votes, it looks like he was putting in the message of, "I'm still with you. This is all me being crazy."
Yeah. I think he was just like, "Oh, we're gonna make it chaotic so that she doesn't suspect anything." I don't know. Like I said, he may have worked himself into a shoot. I don't know, but I think that was planned, or at least
it had to.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, yeah. God, just another. This is the second council in a row where people have just gotten up and started
whispering shit. In a row.
Sorry. Yeah. Technically, second in a row for me because of how I was watching these things. But yeah, this is the second one where people just all get up and just start chatting in the middle of the thing.
But you know why the actual result pissed me off? Okay, because not only did they get out Sandra and give you 3 points, if they had all done what they said they were going to do right before they voted, there would have been 3 votes for Ozzy, and Ty would have played his idol, and Ozzy would have been gone, and I would have won that damn bet.
You would have won 3 fucking bets this week.
You can't get that hat trick.
I feel like, Brian, you're winning this season. Not because you're picking the right players, but you're winning fantasy because of the bets.
I know. Well, obviously, because, like, my first two were gone.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So
lost anybody this week, though, huh?
Do we want to transition? Let's get into fantasy, then. Let's just move on. Do you guys have anything else you want to say about the episode before we slide into fantasy?
I'm glad to see Ciri is still in the game. Like, I didn't think she would last this long, but here she is.
Shown her at all, either.
Is Ciri now officially the biggest target left?
No, Ozzy is.
Yeah, I would say Ozzy.
But Ozzy's never won. You gotta get somebody who's won before.
Neither has Ciri. What is that supposed to mean?
Ciri hasn't won.
Oh, I thought she won.
She came in...
No, all the winners are gone.
Third place, I think, both times.
No, she's played 3 times before.
Are all the winners gone? Oh yeah, all the winners are gone.
Yeah, all the winners are gone.
her first two, she was third place. I didn't see her last one.
Yeah. So it is Ozzy and then Suri. Okay.
No, I want to say something about Ty. You're talking about Ty, like, revealing to Varner, you know, that they're voting for Sandra. Well, nobody ever told him that they were lying to Varner and saying that it was him. It really wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
Like, why would he think there was any reason to keep it a secret? You know, because them two knew damn well they were on the bottom.
Yeah, well, that plays into something that we talk about every now and again, where it's like, yeah, you have to pick a name when you're lying about who you're voting for. But you also, you need to tell that person, we picked your name, and we picked you. Like, because they picked Ty because it was realistic. But they didn't tell him that they picked him, so when he heard his name being floated around, he panicked. And that's when he mentioned, I thought we were going for, what's her name? Sandra. And it's like, that's what causes the trouble. Maybe there's just, I have a hard time believing that when you're on that beach for 24 hours, and there's nobody else there other than camera crew who can't interact with you, I have a hard time believing you can't find some time to go, by the way, Ty, sorry, we said your name. Don't worry. You're good. You're good, buddy. Don't worry.
Right. Yeah, especially.
Yeah, I mean, and Ty's not Michaela. You know, he wouldn't have freaked out when they told him that. He would just have been like, okay.
Yeah, and I think, well, I'm going back and forth in my head because on the one hand, you especially want Ty to know, because if you know he has a nose for sniffing out idols, you let him know, so that he doesn't waste one. And I know the reaction to that is, well, then you flush it in an idol, but Ty also has a track record of playing his idols for his allies. He's done it more than once. So if you can get in with him like that, and he can tell you that he has two idols, you can not assume one of them will be yours, but you can, you know, you got a chance that you might have access to one of those down the road. So to not bring him in and then have him burn one of them when he didn't need to, that would sting.
Yeah. They kind of missed an opportunity, but whatever. I mean, hey, Ty probably, 50-50 chance Ty would have blurted it out on accident anyway.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, well. which is why he's lovable. Like, he does all of these ridiculous dumb things like I was saying earlier, like, how does he do all this stuff and not be hated and still be loved? And it's because, you know, all of it is bumbling mistakes. So you can love him for saying fucking Varner's name and doing all this crazy shit in tribal, because it's just Ty. He doesn't know he's being a dick bag. He's trying to be nice and he's just panicking. All right, let's move into fantasy. Yeah. We had three bets resolved this week. The first one was, who is a returning castaway? I said Sierra, Nick said Malcolm, and Brian said, not this season. So Brian won, obviously, because it was Cochran. So that's 3 points for Brian. We also had one for the Deadpool, which is every year at the beginning of the season, before the season starts, we each pick a name, and the person who picks the one who gets taken out first is the one who wins. I had chosen Brad Culpepper, Brian chose Ozzy, and Nick chose Sandra Diaz-Twine. Ding, ding, ding.
Somebody finally picked someone that was out before the merge.
Yay!
Yeah.
No. Didn't we have... I think it was like last season that I got that person on day one.
No, that definitely has never happened.
Yeah. No, it was... it was that old guy in the Gen X versus Millennial one. It was that really old guy who was like, well, I'm real old. I'm
The rocker guy from Florida Keys.
Yeah, I picked him.
He
was like the
first?
Third. He was like third or first. The first one was the boobs one that Brian picked because boobs.
Right. No, but I got the points for it.
Yeah,
Paul was his name.
You did win that bet, but you know it wasn't first.
Oh, when you say the one that Brian picked, you meant picked for his team. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
So you got those 3 points. The next bet that we have is drop your bets, which is. What episode Jeff says drop your buffs and we're gonna change up the tribes. We had thought that we were voting for the first time this was gonna happen, but it happened on episode 2. So we just decided to leave this live because odds are it was gonna happen again before the merge. And lo and behold, I had chosen 3, Nick had chosen 4, Brian picked 5, and Brian, I don't think you were meaning it to be the second time that they shuffled up the tribes, but guess
no,
what? You win anyway. So that's another 3 points to Brian. So Bet's got 9 points on us all this week, which is pretty significant considering how early in the season we are, because the points go up after the merge. So 9 points here does really matter. Going into the week, Nick, you had 29 points, and you had Ozzy, Sierra, and Troyzan. You got 3 from Ozzy for surviving Tribal Council. You got 1 from Sierra for winning the Tribe Immunity Challenge, and 1 from Troyzan because he was also on the Tribe that won Immunity. And 3 on your bets. That adds 8 onto your 29, giving you 37. I was in second to last. I had 31 points. I got 1 from Michaela for being on the Tribe that wins Immunity, and 3 from Zeke from surviving Tribal. And I get a shitload of points from Ty, because he survived Tribal and found 2 Immunity Isles, and each Immunity Isle is 2 points. So I get 7 whopping points from Ty. So I don't need no goddamn bets. I just need good play. That adds 11 points to my 31, giving me 42. Brian had 35 last week. He gets 1 point from Suri for being on the Tribe that won Immunity, 3 from Andrea and 3 from Jeff, both for surviving Tribal, and 6 from bets. That gives him 13 onto his 35, totaling up to 48. So there's no movement in our leaderboard today, but definitely an increase in points. And Nick, you haven't been here for a couple weeks, so we haven't changed your players. And honestly, I didn't think you'd want to.
No, I want to keep them. That's the so the problem I'm having is I'm looking at Ozzy, Sierra, and Troyzan, and they're all really good players. And so they're all really big threats. But the problem is, it's like, you don't want to drop
that, but
one.
Okay.
No, they're all, like, okay, no, I mean,
Troyzan's there, so is Sierra.
Sierra's good at challenges. She's no Ozzy, but I mean, that's the thing, it's like, I don't know. Alright, my point being, I should get rid of one of them, because they can't all win Immunity next week. Only one of them is going to win it. So, I don't know. But I guess I'll keep them. I'll keep them.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Nick, I think you're playing for after the merge, right? Because all 3 of these are contenders to win individual immunity any given week. And Sierra and Troyzan both hold... They both hold an idle clue or advantage kind of a thing. So you're your team is...
I forgot about Sierra's advantage.
Yeah, your team is in a good position. They're just not getting you points right now.
Yeah. So I'll be okay. I'll survive.
All right, so you're going to hold Pat. I got Michaela, Ty, and Zeke. I don't know if I want to do any ad drops. Michaela, I'm convinced, will be amazing after the merge. So I just need to get her there. Ty, Ty's got too many giles. I'm fucking never dropping him now. Yeah. And Zeke continues to be smart and play well. So I'm happy with my tribe, too. My team? Yeah, my team.
Team, tribe, whatever. Yeah. Your clan? Yeah. No, not clan.
Brian, you had a lead last week, and your lead got even bigger this week. Do you want to make any changes to your winning team of Suri, Andrea, and Jeff?
Not them, but yeah. Well, I was thinking, well, maybe I should drop Jeff, you know, because he's clearly all by himself now. But having watched the show for, 16 years now, I realize every time you think somebody's in the bottom, next they're absolutely not in the bottom anymore.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, next week he's going to be the leader of the gay agenda.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Brian, if you really want to continue your winning run, what you need to do for your team is make more bets.
you know what we need to do, though, seriously, is we're completely out of bets, so we really need to make new ones.
I know. This is on you, because I feel like I don't want to make bets with you, Brian, because they just give you more points every week. You're like the bet winner this season. So I don't want to make bets with you. So you got to come in with interesting bets. I'm putting that onus right on you, my friend.
If you were a hockey person, you would be Gary Bettman.
Oh, that sucks. Sorry, bro. Boo.
Shut up, that was a great joke.
No, I'm not booing you, I'm booing Bettman.
He's booing Gary
Bettman. Right people will get it.
All right, so no ad drops, we're sitting pat, no movement in the standings. Remaining players, just if you want to keep track, Aubrey, Brad, Haley, Debbie, and Sarah are all not taken.
I still really like Aubrey. I have a feeling I'll pick her up whenever one of my folks gets dropped out.
Yeah, I think Aubrey's going to give me survival points all the way until the end of the year. Not that she's good, not that I'm predicting her to go to the end, but she's not a big threat. I think she'll go pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's it for this week. You guys want to sign out with anything?
Yeah, just by saying that hopefully next week I'll have my computer up and running and I won't be huddled under a blanket with my iPad.
Fingers crossed. I mean, this is probably the most comfortable you've ever been podcasting.
Not really, because I've had to sit in a weird position so that, because the blanket goes over the iPad speakers, you guys can't hear me.
Oh, and then you have a Snuggie. You have a blanket with arms. You're fine. We had that whole discussion on air, even.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Snuggie won't block out enough sound.
On air, because we do this live.
Yeah. Well, also, my Snuggie is currently in a storage locker about a block and a half away.
You know what, though?
Along with all of my DVDs, all of my video games, everything except for Mary Beard's SPQR book. Oh, and Mass Effect Andromeda.
You know, Brian, you made a joke about us being live. But if you all go to patreon.com/NOTLG and become patrons, one of the Patreon goals is to do some live shows. So if you go there and support the network, we might be one of those first live shows. And you can tune in and listen to us on Thursday nights at 7:52 when we record.
Yeah. That was an awfully specific number. And Patreon.com/NOTLG.
Yeah, man, I fucking call it. I know my life. I am a self-envisioned man.
All right. Cool.
I totally did not give you the time that auction was going to end.
You good, yo?
Yes, we're good.
All right.
Peace out.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you again, and I'm glad to be back.
Woo.
Woo.